This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, the word tolerance in our culture today has an interesting connotation. It used to be a good biblical word, but now it has political overtones. It has emotional overtones with people. It has spiritual implications. We talk about the word tolerance this week, looking at a passage of scripture from the book of Joshua, where God's people were told not to tolerate evil in terms of the gods of the other nations that they had just conquered. We'll talk about that word this week, and maybe it will speak to you in hopefully a powerful way. God bless you as you listen. Well, most people consider tolerance a virtue. You do, and so do I. Tolerance is a good word. It has a double meaning. Most husbands hope that their wives are tolerant of their foibles and some of their bad habits. Most wives are hopeful that their husbands are tolerant of them in certain areas of life and shortcomings. Children are hopeful that their parents will be tolerable or they'll be tolerable too, but they'll also be tolerant of their mistakes. But let me give you the double definition of tolerant. Tolerant can mean long-suffering. It can mean patient. But the dictionary also says tolerant can mean indulgent, where anything goes. It doesn't matter. I'm just tolerant of anything. And tolerance is a virtue, can be a virtue. And it's a good biblical virtue, but there is a sense in which tolerance of evil in our lives can be a sin, can be evil. And something so nice-sounding as tolerance in the body of Christ can be a sign of evil and wickedness. And we're going to read today in the book of Joshua, where Joshua warns his people, he warns the leaders of Israel in his second to the last farewell address, that you can't be tolerant of the pagan nations that you have just conquered. You can't invoke the names of their gods. You can't bow down and serve their gods, because you have been called by God to be separate, to be different. And God placed you in this land. He placed you in this part of the world for a reason. And you are His people, and He is your God. He's the one who fought for you and guided you. And so Joshua said, you're not to be tolerant of that which is pagan in practice and belief. We're going to talk about tolerance perhaps in ways that you've never thought about before, by reading 23, the 23rd chapter of Joshua. Verse 3 says, "You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you." I want you to grasp this idea that Joshua was a humble leader. In fact, that's the thing that I admire about Joshua the most. He doesn't hesitate to give the Lord credit for what the Lord has done. Do you realize how easy it would have been for Joshua to take credit for what happened? I led you through this campaign, and then I led you through this campaign, and then we took this nation under my leadership, and we defeated Jericho under my leadership, and Joshua has none of that to say. Joshua, as a godly leader, as a humble leader, calls attention to the Lord and says, "It's the Lord God who fought for you." What a lesson for spiritual leadership. Over my years in the ministry, I have met many ministers, I've known ministers, who are quick to take credit for anything positive that happens in the body of Christ. Well, I built that building, and then I took this church from X, Y, and Z to X, Y, and Z, and it's all about them, what they did. And sometimes I have heard those so much that I literally shudder and shake, thinking, you don't get it, do you? You really don't get it. It is the Lord God Almighty who ultimately does these things. Can you imagine a scenario where an artist is painting a painting? And if the brush could talk, the brush would brag about my artwork. And the brush would say, well, I painted the Michelangelo, and I painted this, and I painted the Sistine Chapel. And if we could talk back to the brush, we'd say, wait a minute. You were simply the instrument in the hand of the artist. You were simply the the instrument in the hand of the master. And that's what I think it's like when we take credit for a lot of things in our life and the Lord says, no, you're the brush. You're the brush. You're the tool. I'm the one doing the painting. I'm the one doing the designing. I'm the one doing the engineering of the situation. And it's a lesson for all of us when Joshua says, the Lord God fought for you. Was Joshua not a good leader? He was a great leader. But part of his leadership was his humility that acknowledged God as God. And that's part of every family, every father needs to acknowledge to his children. It is the Lord God who is helping us. Every mother needs to acknowledge to her children, it is the Lord God Almighty that has brought us thus far by faith. Thus far the Lord hath provided for us, is right out of Scripture. And that should be the mantra of every family. I want to bring up verse 6. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. It takes strength and courage to follow the Word of God. If you're going to be a man or woman or young person, teenager who follows the Bible, I guarantee you it's going to take two things. It's going to take strength and courage. Because all the pressure is to go the other way. All the cultural pressures that come to bear will push people the other way. And the tendency, the temptation is to obey anything but the Word of God in life. And yet we are called by God to be strong and to be courageous. Be careful to obey all the words of the Lord. Back in the 80s and 90s, there were cars that had a woman's voice that would give you prompts. Some of you may have had a car like that. Your headlights are on when you shut the car off. The door's ajar. And you would hear this female voice talk to you about what was wrong with the car, including when the gas gauge showed that your fuel level was low, a voice would come out and say, your fuel level is low. Ralph Zetterston, who used to be the vice president for Focus on the Family, tells about a friend of his from North Carolina by the name of Ed who had such a car. He loved it. He thought it was so neat. He showed it off to everybody. He was on a trip one time when the voice came on, and he referred to this woman condescendingly as the little woman, came on and said, your fuel level is low. He said, thank you. He thanked her out loud. Thank you. I'll appreciate that. Thinking he had 50 to 60 miles left. Your fuel level is low. And then as he drove farther, it picked up in repetition about every 10 seconds. Your fuel level is low. He got so angry at her voice. He pulled the car over, got underneath the dashboard, found the wire, and pulled it. And he was laughing down the highway just as his car began to sputter. And he ran out of gas and pulled over to the side of the road. And Ed said he could swear he heard that woman laughing inside the dashboard. He was sure he could hear her laughing. You know, I've thought about that story many times. Let me tell you what we've done as a culture. We've disconnected from this book. We've pulled the wire. And people today say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way. I don't want to hear that there's sin in my life. I don't want to hear that there's accountability. I don't want to hear that you reap what you sow. I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say about my personal life. After all, it's my life. Let me tell you what we've done as a culture. We've disconnected from this book. We've pulled the wire. And people today say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way. I don't want to hear that there's sin in my life. I don't want to hear that there's accountability. I don't want to hear that you reap what you sow. I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say about my personal life. After all, it's my life. Thank you. It's my business. And what I do with my life is my own business. And the Lord says, no, it's not. The Lord God Almighty says, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. It is His business, what we do with this thing called life. Be very careful to obey. Be very strong, be very careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning to the right or left. Do you know what that means? Don't be distracted by the world. To turn to the right or left means your eyes go other ways other than on the Word of God. That's your temptation. And that's my temptation, to be distracted. There's so many distractions in our world. to take our focus, to take our eyes off the living God. Let's bring up verse 7 if we could. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. Now here's where the tolerance issue comes to bear. Don't associate with these nations that remain among you. Was he telling them to be rude? No. Was Joshua afraid they might pick up some recipes from these people, the way they cooked their food? No. He was afraid they would pick up their gods. He was afraid they would pick up their pagan worship. And Joshua says this, don't even invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. I was trying to think of an illustration, and it just came to me. There's some humor to this, but for some of you, it may not be humorous. Some of you are sensitive to the name of your husband's former girlfriend being brought up. And some of you have either said privately or you said to other people, I never want to hear her name mentioned again. Some of you, maybe a husband says, I don't want to hear the name of your former fiance. And I don't want you to talk about him. Don't bring him up. Don't invoke his name. Why? Because the mention of that name brings back all kinds of emotions. The mere mentioning of that name invokes all kinds of other memories and negative things. And the Lord says, don't even invoke the names. In fact, if you have the King James Version, I think it simply says, don't even mention the names. Don't even mention the names of these pagan gods. Why? A couple reasons. The pagan gods, number one, represented demonic spirits. Do you remember we read in Psalms about what God's people did? They sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons. You say, who were the demons? The pagan deities. It's hard to believe, but when God's people came into the promised land, they would see the pagan worship, and they would see the Asherah poles, which were like totem poles, where they would have this idol in someone's backyard, so to speak, and God's people started worshiping that. You say, I really have trouble believing that. Why would they start worshiping the gods of the area? Just like people do in the United States of America. We worship the gods of this age.
Well, we'll continue this message tomorrow from Joshua 23, exactly where we leave off today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel for Crossover.
We worship the gods of this age, money. We worship the gods of this age, things, popularity, power, influence. What are the gods of this age that have different names? They have different qualities, perhaps, but we pick up the gods of this age, and the Lord would say the same thing to you or me, and don't even invoke their names. Don't associate with these pagan practices. You must not serve them or bow down to them. There's an interesting verse in either Jeremiah or Isaiah, I can't remember which, where it says they believed God, but they served their idols. What a statement. God's people believed God, but they served their idols. What does that mean? Philosophically, they believed in God, but practically, they believed in the idols because they served their idols. That's an apt description of the United States of America. We say we believe God. We tell the pollsters we believe in God, but we serve our idols in the United States of America. Let's talk about tolerance here just for a second. I used an illustration some time ago told by Gary Richmond, who was a zookeeper, a Christian man who wrote a book called The View from the Zoo. He talked about raccoons. Said the raccoons go through a glandular change, I think, at about 24 months, and he said a 30-pound raccoon has the strength and power of a 100-pound dog. And you may remember this story. Gary Richmond said he had a friend named Julie who had a pet raccoon called Bandit, and she said, Bandit would never hurt me. Bandit loves me. And you may remember the story that Julie had to undergo plastic surgery for facial lacerations when Bandit attacked her. And Gary Richmond, in his book, A View from the Zoo, makes the application to tolerance. Sometimes that which we tolerate becomes the very thing that destroys us. Sometimes that habit that we embrace becomes the very thing that ends up destroying us. What is it that you tolerate in your life that can come back to haunt you? Let's bring up a couple more verses. Let's bring up verse number 8. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. If that sounds familiar, we just had that, I think, last week or the week before, to hold fast. To hold fast means to not let go. It means to cleave. It means to cling to something. And we're to hold fast to the Lord like you would hold on to a child in a storm. You're to hold fast to the Lord like you would embrace somebody whom you're saying goodbye to and you're not going to see them for 6 months to a year. That's what it means to hold fast to the Lord. You hold fast to that which you care about. You hold fast to that which you love, which brings us up to the most important verse is verse 11, if we could bring that up. Verse 11 says, so be very careful to love the Lord your God. Isn't it interesting? He says, be careful to love the Lord your God. Why? The temptation is to forget to love the Lord. To start falling in love with things, to fall in love with something or someone else other than the Lord. And he says, be very careful to the leaders. Not just to the people, but to the leaders. Be careful to love the Lord your God. Do you tolerate in your life? Look at it today. Not at because of what I've said, but look at what you tolerate in your life under the light of what I read from God's Word. Look at what you tolerate in your own soul, in your own spirit, in your own mind. And then say, Lord, would you shine your light on that which is in my life that I need to get rid of? And you know what? The Lord will do it. How do I know that? Because of James. It said, you need wisdom in life, ask, and the Lord will freely give it. I have a feeling He'll not only give you wisdom, He'll give you discernment about that which you tolerate in your life. Robertson McQuilkin for 22 years was the president of Columbia Bible College and Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. When he wrote this, he said, it's been a decade since that day during a Florida vacation when Muriel, my wife, repeated to the couple we were visiting the story that she had told them just 5 minutes earlier. She told a story, 5 minutes later she told it again. Funny, I thought, that's never happened before, but it began to happen occasionally. 3 years later, when Muriel was hospitalized for tests on her heart, a young doctor called me aside. Robertson, you may need to think of the possibility of Alzheimer's, he said. I was incredulous. These young doctors are so presumptuous and insensitive. When her memory deteriorated further, we went to Joe Tabor, our neurologist friend, who gave her a full battery of tests and by elimination confirmed that she had Alzheimer's. But because she had none of the typical physical deterioration, there was some question. We went to Duke University Medical Center, believing that we could get the best available second opinion. My heart sank as the doctor asked my wife to name the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and she looked pleadingly to me for help. But she quickly bounced back and laughed at herself. She was a little nervous, perhaps, and nothing was going to get her down. This time I accepted the verdict, however, and I was determined from the outset not to chase around the country after every new miracle treatment we might hear about. Little did I know the day was coming when we would be urged on the average of once a week to pursue every variety of treatment, vitamins, exorcism, chemicals, this guru, that healer, this clinic, that clinic. How could I even look into them all, let alone pursue them? I was grateful to my friends who made the suggestions because each was an expression of love. But listen to this. This is a beautiful line. For us, we would trust the Lord to work a miracle in Muriel if He so desired, or to work a miracle in me if He didn't. I would trust the Lord to work a miracle in Muriel if He so desired, or work a miracle in me if He did not. Muriel cannot speak in sentences now, only in phrases and words, and often in words that make little sense. But she can say one sentence, and she says it often, I love you. She not only says it, she acts it. The trustees of the college arranged for a companion to stay in our home so I could go daily to the office. But during those 2 years, it became increasingly difficult to keep Muriel home. Now listen to this last paragraph, because this is all coming up to the last sentence. As soon as I would leave for work, Muriel would take out after me. With me she was content, without me she was distressed, sometimes terror-stricken. Now get this. The walk to the school is a mile round trip, the school office. She would make that trip as many times as 10 times a day. Sometimes at night when I would help her get ready for bed, I found her feet were bloody with walking so many times barefooted up to my office. When I told our family doctor about this story, he choked up. "Such love," he said simply, "such love." Then after a moment he said this, "Robertson, I have a theory that the characteristics developed across the years come out at times like these. I have a theory that the characteristics developed across the years come out at times like these." Here's the sentence, all of that to lead up to this. "I wish that I loved God like that, like my wife does me. I wish I loved God like that, desperate to be near him at all times. I wish I loved God like that." Joshua said, be very careful to love the Lord your God. You know, that's the ultimate compliment to Joshua as a leader. He not only told people to look to the Lord, he said, love him.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.